This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right now, it's time once again for...
It's the Flaherty Report with John Flaherty. Somebody's getting pizzazzed.
That's right, somebody is. The John Flaherty Report brought to you by Stoli Vodka, the official vodka of the Yankees Radio Network, and by Tire Discount Tire Pros. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm a little tired, but I'm fine.
Yes,
you're tired.
Tell us about it. Sorry to throw it back in your face.
Yes.
But yes, hopefully another 8:40 start when a 4-hour and 2-minute game is not in our future, but it very well could be. So let's start with Severino last night. You know, he wasn't perfect, obviously, the big jams in the second and the third. And his fastball command was something he really couldn't get under control early on in the game. Just give us your overall assessment of how Luis Severino looked in the start last night.
Yeah, I think you're right on. Kind of all over the place with fastball command. Stuff looked pretty good. Maybe velocity wasn't great right from the beginning of the game. But, you know, what I take away from his start last night was a little bit of maturity. And by that, I mean the ability to kind of walk off the mound in some big spots. I was worried about him being so amped up and he would just be out there chucking it as hard as he could. He actually took a couple of steps back and slowed the game down a little bit. And you referenced that second inning was the biggest inning of the game. I mean, bases loaded, nobody out after the Yankees had taken an early lead, and the ability to navigate through that and get out of it without any damage, I thought was brilliant. But the way he walked off the mound, composed himself, buckled down on every pitch. It was a huge, huge 4 innings for him.
You know, it's kind of interesting watching Aaron Boone stand there in the dugout with Larry Rothschild right to his left. And I'm thinking, are they just talking through every inning now as we move forward here in the playoffs? And were you surprised that they left Severino in?
No, I wasn't surprised. We were talking about it after the fourth inning and the way the lineup was going to turn over for a third time. Said that probably had to be it. I mean, and if you could have gotten 4 shutout, although they were stressful innings, at the end of the day, 4 shutout innings after him only coming back for 3 major league starts, I think is everything that Larry and Aaron Boone would have looked for. So, you know, obviously we talked before the series how big the bullpen is going to be. You get 4 innings from Severino and shutout innings, I'll take that every time.
Man, when I look at this Yankee team in this series, they did everything well, whether it was offense, defense, pitching, starting pitching, bullpen, but you want to come out of it saying this is a championship team, and they have been all year. There's a couple of things, though, you have to put in the conversation. One is that the Twins were completely overmatched, and I don't want to overvalue what the Yankees did because of the opponent. And the other thing is, potentially, and we should see probably a win by Verlander a little bit later on tonight, but you've got another team that's just as good. Did this series for you elevate your expectations of the Yankees at all with how well they played across the board?
Wow. I thought it would be a closer series, more competitive. But, man, Gio, I got to tell you, I was really impressed with the Yankees, and you mentioned it, all facets. We've already talked about the quality of the at-bats and kind of, the taking pitches and walking and making pitchers work. But, you know, the way the defense showed up last night, Torres was unbelievable. LeMahieu at first. Aaron Judge doesn't get a hit last night, but he's a big factor in the game, the way he played right field. Didi Gregorius. Went from a lazy finish to the season to all of a sudden he's that playoff big-time player that we've seen in the past. So I think the Yankees in this series impressed me in every facet. I think there's going to be some issues moving forward with some of the relievers. They're going to have to get more outs. Obviously starters are going to be a premium trying to go deeper into the game, but you're not going to be able to go through an ALCS and a best of 7 and have 3 relievers used, your big-time relievers, in 1 inning. And the 5th inning is what happened last night. So that's going to come back and get you. But all around, starting pitching was good. bullpen was better. Defense was amazing, especially in last night's game. And the way that lineup just keeps coming at you, 1 through 9, Yankees played a great series.
You know, this is it's interesting. The Yankees took care of business. They swept. They're going to be rested. Houston's got to go another game here. Verlander on short rest and everything else. I don't know how that will impact his availability for the Yankees at the beginning of their next series, assuming that they do win. Here's a question that I have for you, John. You're over there at Yes. You're hanging around with all the guys, you know, from, you know, Jack Curry to David Cohn and everybody else in between, Paul O'Neill, Michael Kay. Is the prevailing thought that Didi Gregorius is going to be a part of the Yankees' long-term future?
Well, it has been forever until maybe the last month you start talking about it and the way he was kind of limping to the finish line, and you say, what's going to happen here? I mean, you know, do you offer him a qualifying offer and see if he's going to take it? You know, and Didi just kind of reminds us now in this series that, hey, this is what I've done in the past during the biggest games of the year, and obviously you guys know this. You know, Yankee fans are all about October and what you do during the biggest month of the year, and Didi has done it. As a Yankee, he's been a huge performer during the postseason. So I expect him to be back. You know, he's kind of reminding us in this series. And then moving forward, I just think there are some guys who can handle the stage and raise their game. And, you know, coming off a major injury, it was an up-and-down year for Didi. But at the biggest moments here, he's stepping up to the plate like he always has. So I expect him to be back.
Would you change or expect a change to this lineup in the ALCS based on matchups, or is this just the lineup that you expect the Yankees to ride with until they see other results?
Yeah, I guess it's strange to say that I would expect the same lineup because we've never seen the same lineup during the year, and obviously injuries were a big reason why, but I think Aaron Boone found something here. I think he found the lineup that works. You know, as an ex-catcher, I wouldn't know how to navigate this lineup because the first three guys make you work so hard in LeMahieu, Judge, and Gardner, and they just never give in, and they foul pitches off, and mentally they wear down a pitcher and a catcher, you know, trying to get through those guys. So I would keep it the same as long as everybody's healthy, obviously. I just think they found something that's working. They found positions where you have the power in the middle. You know, now all of a sudden you got Sanchez, who swung the bat a whole lot better last night. This is the lineup I'd roll out there, and I'd take my chances.
What did you think of Stanton's first at bat last night?
It was so long ago, Boomer. You have to remind me.
He struck out. You remember he had that feeble swing on the third strike?
Yeah. He's the guy, and everybody, you know, for some reason, the Yankee fans, and I understand it. You know, but I think I've talked about the quality of his at bats. I still feel good about it. It's like anything that he does, everybody's going to look and point to, and I get it. But I thought he was a contributor in the fact that he was kind of, you know, grinding out at bats like everybody else. He didn't have a big moment. He kind of contributed a little bit. But I'm not going to kill this guy. You know, I'm going to wait for him. I still have faith that he's going to come up with a big swing.
You know, the amazing thing is his defensive replacement comes in and hits a home run. I mean, you know, you couldn't write it any worse for him. Although I agree with you. I think he's participated in this series. I don't think he's been a disaster. And the fact that he did take walks and didn't swing at bad pitches and all that other stuff was a good sign. And, you know, why would you want to mess with anything right now? I mean, they just basically tore apart the Twins, and now they sit back. They get to come home. They get to enjoy winning this series, and they get to watch a game today and to see whether or not it's going to be the Astros this weekend or whether or not they got to go to a game 5 with the Rays. So, I mean, I hate nitpicking stuff like this, though, John. I would imagine the roster is going to remain the same. You don't see that overall changing, do you?
Well, we talked a little bit about it last night. You know, a 7-game series, do you go with an extra arm out of the bullpen? You know, you got to make a decision. I guess Luke Voit would be the odd man out. Is there ever a point during a game where he might pinch hit for anybody in that lineup? I don't think so. So would you value an extra arm in the bullpen? Sabathia is going to throw a side session on Wednesday. He was saying last night after the game that if that goes well, he might be a possibility. So that would be the only change, if any, I think that they would make. But, you know, obviously they're happy with the way it went. They can get healthy. Zach Britton sounds like he's going to be fine. The ankle, not much of an issue after the game. So I would expect maybe the only conversation, adding another pitcher.
One of the questions that's always asked this time of year when a team wraps up a series so quickly and another one has to play another game is the layoff stuff. I think it affects, there's not one answer for every team. I think it affects every team differently. But, you know, the Yankees will not play a game, you know, Monday, obviously Monday night. They'll not play another game until Saturday. Do you believe that has any effect, positive or negative, on them at all?
I don't, Gio. I mean, you could have said the same thing, right, you know, about this division series. They had a little time off before that. They had things wrapped up. You know, there's something about this team. There's a focus there. There's a hunger there. You know, they just grind it out, and they kind of have an edge about them that I don't expect it to be an issue. I expect, you know, them to take a couple of days off, enjoy themselves a little bit, figure out who their opponent is, and then, you know, kind of go through the whole process again. I think the one thing from an organizational standpoint that really stood out to me is they were very, very prepared against the Minnesota Twins to break down that lineup. They had all of the information. They had the game plan that they wanted. They executed it. So now they sit back as an organization and wait to see if it's going to be Tampa or Houston. Once they do that, they're going to dive in head first. And I think the pitching staff especially will be very prepared with a game plan on how to navigate the opposing lineups.
Last thing for me, John. One thing I see out of this team is a team there where nobody wants to let their teammates down. It's the chemistry equation here. And it's like, okay, Judge strikes out, Didi gets up, gets a hit, or Gardner gets a hit or whatever. And how happy Judge is for his teammate while he's disappointed in himself. So I kind of see the whole chemistry thing coming together. It's their year. It looks like it's their year. Gio's been saying it now for about the last 3 months. And I have to agree with him. I don't know if you would have the same assessment that I do.
I do. And, you know, it's funny, the analytics department and all of these front offices, they put zero value on chemistry and clubhouse and all of that stuff. But when you watch this team, and I've been saying it a little bit on the air, you know, you can say, hey, you know, I'm going to pass the baton to the next guy, and, you know, it doesn't have to be me. I trust the guy behind me. A lot of times you hear hitters say that, and you don't really believe it. But when I watch these guys on how patient they are, and they're just kind of handing it to the next guy, you start believing that something is a little bit different here with this team. They all get along. They've all been through so many ups and downs this year with all of the injuries that now you get to the biggest time of the year and they're not going out there trying to be the hero. They're taking pitches and handing it to the next guy in the lineup. There's something special going on. So you got a good feeling about it, but that feeling goes away really quickly when you have to face Verlander and Cole in a long series, if that's the way it turns out to be.
You started this interview talking about the maturity of Severino last night. How about the maturity of Aaron Boone as manager of this team so far? Now, I know when a team wins, a manager looks great. When they lose, it doesn't look great, and sometimes it's not all about him. But for me, he seems like he's more in command and more confident in the dugout with the decisions that he's making, and he pushed all the right buttons in this particular series. Is that fair to say, or is it just easy to say because they won so easily?
Yeah, well, it's easy to say when all of the moves that you make work out. You know, like I said, Aaron is going to be a lot more proactive going to the bullpen. He showed us in this series that that's the way he's going to be, and that's all great when it works out. But, you know, last night you used three of your main relievers in the fifth inning, and, you know, you got a lot of baseball to cover after that, and it ended up working out. You know, Chad Green going a little bit longer helped them. But I worry in a seven-game series, if they're going to be that aggressive going to the bullpen, they have to let some of their big relievers give them three, four outs, and then Aaron Boone's going to look like a genius. But you're right, everything he did in this series worked out great. He's going to be proactive and aggressive in the next series, and I just worry about some of those outs coming down the stretch, who's going to be able to cover them. But so far, so good for Aaron Boone.
John, always good talking to you. We will talk to you later on this week.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
All right. There he goes. John Flaherty, the Flaherty Report.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.